better say. If you're afraid, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Knock, knock, so let me see you get loose. This is going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, everybody? Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Now, 3 days removed from the end of the 2015 NFL Draft, we will talk about that again. We will talk about the Cavaliers losing a tough one at home in game number one to the Chicago Bulls, a team that started off the game shooting lights out. I thought Pau Gasol had too many wide-open jumpers for my taste. The Cavs were able to tie it up a couple times but couldn't get the lead back, ended up dropping the game 99-92, and the first quarter really set the tone, down 27-15 after one.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was LeBron usually plays his best after a significant break, but this is a new team. No Kevin Love, no J.R. Smith, and we'll be without J.R. Smith and Kevin Love for another game and Kevin Love for the rest of the playoffs. I do think it was a learning experience for the Cavaliers to put their and Coach David Blatt to put his rotation together so he can figure out what is the best unit, the best groupings, who plays well together. Because at this point in the season, these guys are walking through in practice and shoot around to take as much weight off those legs and have them fresh, ready to perform in the playoffs when it matters most. It was just frustrating for me. So the slow start was the 8 games off, which Coach David Blatt talked about prior to the basketball game as well. And then props to Chicago for shooting that well. I don't think it's going to carry out throughout the playoffs. They've shot, over 50% from the field, over 50% from three-point. The Cavs then shoot somewhere between, I think, around 44, 45% from the field, 25% from three-point land. We did miss J.R. Smith making those big buckets, especially there at the queue. And ultimately, we know that's going to level itself out. I think LeBron understands that he's got to raise his game to a new level. Without Kevin Love, it takes away one of his assets to be the facilitator he wants to be. We need LeBron James to go for 25, 30 points. You know, we don't need a triple-double. We get Tristan Thompson. There's enough bodies to make up for some of those rebounds. But LeBron James has got to be primarily first a scorer. Kyrie stepped his game up last night. He definitely doesn't shy away from the limelight. I look for a bounce back, big win because of
they gotta win this game now.
With all that being said, we still lost the game by 7 points. It's just we kept putting ourselves in a hole. But then props to Chicago, they shot very well, and when we needed a stop, they made a basket consistently from the third quarter on.
And Mike Miller, I don't know if Mike Miller can be on the court. Too much of a defensive liability. He was -20 in 16 minutes. I just don't know that he can be out there. It was a tough one. Cavs got to get the next one. Then they get J.R. Smith back, because not only is J.R. Smith going to help and help the rotation and help the minutes, he's going to help spread the floor.
Yeah.
There was not a lot of spacing on the floor for LeBron, because other than LeBron and Kyrie, there wasn't anybody that they were worried about.
You're right. And just hearing the comments from Charles Barkley referencing Kyrie Irving, Kyrie, 30 points, you know, wasn't all that great from the field, but a lot of those acrobatic shots that he had were not that way when Kevin Love was on the basketball court, or J.R. Smith for that matter, simply because of the spacing. He was drawing a second defender and having to make, you know, an all-star, you know, typical Kyrie, you know, loop-de-loop shot, when it could have been an easy shot had he not had two defenders because of the lack of Kevin Love and J.R. Smith in the basketball court. So everyone's got to step their game up.
I thought Shumpert did play a
pretty
darn good game.
He did. You know what? But Chicago, part of their game plan was give Shump his shots. And that's the one thing, as we were doing our show last night, we kept following. Yes, he had points, but he shot, you know, consistently under 50%. And that's a guy that you want to be you don't mind him taking shots,
but he's going to knock those down. I'll take 8 of 17 from Shump, 4 of 10 from 3 all day long.
Yeah, true.
I'll take that all day long. Just didn't get anybody else stepping up. Miller was atrocious. And, you know, you got to get through this game, find a way to win it, go to Chicago 1-1.
And find a way to defend that pick and roll, because that's where Pau Gasol just killed us. He'd make that
18-footer. It seemed like that was the game plan, though, to let him shoot that.
I know.
Which I didn't think was the
right
thing
to do. I don't like that. He's done it for the last decade. He won a few championships in L.A. doing that.
Certainly did. Yes, Pau Gasol is a very, very, very good basketball player.
He is. Chicago's no dummy signing him this offseason.
No, that was a very nice pickup for them. a very nice pickup for them. All right, coming up on today's show, we'll have Andrew Gribble, senior staff writer, ClevelandBrowns.com. We'll have sound from the draft weekend that was. Hear some of the top analysts in the business say what they have to think about the Browns draft as well. And we're going to talk about yesterday's show. Obviously, we had Ray Farmer on. If you missed that, you can get it at the Browns app or ClevelandBrowns.com at your leisure. You can download that entire interview, about 20 minutes with the general manager of the Browns talking about his draft. Today, our Ohio Business Machine Hot Topics, we're going to do this. We're going to rank the Browns quarterbacks from 1 to 4, McCown, Manziel, Shaw, Lewis. And, of course, yesterday we had Mike Pettine doing an interview, I believe, on Bull and Fox, talking about the fact that Josh McCown's the favorite to start. Do you like that? What do you want? Do you want a competition? Do you want one guy to be the starter? What do you want, Dog Pound, as it relates to this quarterback class? And then here's the other one. Ray Farmer said he thinks Danny Shelton is going to have the biggest impact on the team from the rookie class. Which rookie do you think will have the biggest impact and why? We'll talk about that. And also, I want to hear your favorite Cinco de Mayo spots, because I love Cinco de Mayo. Great holiday. I want to hear your favorite Cinco de Mayo spots. Plus, we'll play a little after further review. So we do have a lot to get to. I think the quarterbacks, to me, it's really McCown and Manziel are on one level. Connor Shaw, Thad Lewis on another level. If Johnny Manziel can compete with Josh McCown, if it's even close, I think you start Johnny Manziel. If it's not close, you start Josh McCown.
I agree. And that's the one thing for me personally that is very, very clear. And also, too, for those fans out there who dwell on the level of play that Connor Shaw did, you know, versus the Baltimore Ravens with really nothing to play for. He came out prepared, he executed, but just wasn't fully supported in his role with some drops and some inexperience and a very good defense who was playing for an opportunity to make the postseason with the Baltimore Ravens. I think it's got to be very clear that it's got to be McCown and Manziel, simply because when you add a third quarterback in the mix, whether it's Connor Shaw or Thady Lou, it takes reps away from Johnny. It takes reps from Josh McCown in this system. If this were year two, you know, that would not be, you know, a bad situation early on to throw a third guy into the mix, because it's year two of learning in a same system. But with John DeFilippo, in most cases, maybe still learning about these players and evaluating his system and the skill set of the of these players competing at the quarterback position for his system, he wants to see the two guys that are going to be the predominant, in most case, sure thing, running his system, and that's why Johnny Manziel and Josh McCown are going to be that guy. He's got the experience with McCown. He wants to, you know, clearly understand what's left in his tank. And then also, too, as you said, you know, being able to watch Johnny in practice and the way he's walking and his approach to his profession now, coming out of the treatment center, how he adapts to the new system, and can he grab it and grow in it, and then also, too, do enough over the next 4 months to earn that starting spot?
Hopefully he can, because that's what I think you want to see. By the end of the season, you need to know what you have in Johnny Manziel. Another hot topic for today is Lyle Collins. Met with the police yesterday. Police confirm he is not a suspect in what is going on. Teams are now whining and dining him. It's unprecedented, really, in NFL history that you have an undrafted free agent who's really a first-round talent that's going to get to pick what team he plays for. Like, why doesn't he just go to the Patriots? I don't know. Why would he go anywhere else?
I'm sure for a guy who is he from Louisiana?
I don't know if he's from Louisiana. Played at LSU.
Obviously. Right. Played at LSU, obviously. That's my question is, you know, a lot of times those SEC states, you know, come and you stay in the SEC to play there and be close to home. But for him, first, as we talked, you know, last night on the draft review show, when it comes to free agents, it's always going to be about the money. And in his case,
he is
from Baton Rouge. Okay, so he's from right there. So, you know, going to Miami, which I know that, you know, Philbin and a few other former LSU football players that know Lyle Collins are going down to visit him, woo him to Miami. That'll keep him in the South, which is a great thing. His family will be able to attend his football games. And also, too, it's not going to be in a situation. New England's going to be very different with him walking in with just a little bit of question mark looming over his head. He might not want that Patriot way enforced over him immediately. He might want a little bit more of a lenient system, which, you know, Miami has down there with Joel Philbin. But he's got an opportunity to choose. So it's going to come down to location, the money, and also the opportunity.
He's an undrafted free agent, so they could technically, can't they offer him whatever they want?
I don't believe so. I think there's a max on an undrafted free agent contract
that you can
give. I think it's $80,000, $83,000 and some change is the max you can give an undrafted free agent. I thought I read that somewhere over the course of this weekend.
I don't think so.
Okay, then maybe
those guys, once they're on the team, they make.
But I meant from a bonus standpoint.
Oh, for a bonus.
Yeah. So yes. So a bonus. And in most cases, all he's gonna, and this is my approach to Lael Collins. If I were a team and if I were Lael, I'll play both sides. The team obviously has got to be very careful in signing a guy like
Why
that.
Why didn't somebody just draft him in the seventh round?
Dude, I don't know. That's not they didn't for a reason. Okay. 32 teams,
but did
seven
they all
times.
Agree not to do it or something?
Is there
some type of collusion? I wish we had Ray Farmer in here today because I'd love to ask him about the mindset there. Because yes, he was meeting with the police on Monday, so that was after the draft, which he did yesterday. They say they've confirmed that he is not a suspect in this, and now he's basically going to get wined and dined as the highest priority undrafted free agent probably in the history of the NFL. This is unprecedented. A first round talent at an undrafted free agent, so basically a minimum contract. Now you can renegotiate that when you're an undrafted free agent. I think after 2 years you can renegotiate
yes.
your contract.
And that's
but
that
still
that's my thought process is when a team wants to come woo him, if I were Lael Collins on his side, is I would have my agent and myself with the mindset that I understand my circumstances not being drafted and how awkward this is for the first time, you know, to have something like this happen. But what I would love to do over the course of those 2 years, even if I'm on a rookie minimum salary and a second year minimum salary of somewhere between $500,000 and $600,000 for those 2 years, right? I want incentives in my contract for 70% of offensive snaps, or you know, if I go to a Pro Bowl, or if I'm offensive rookie of the year, those types of things in my contract, so they can earn back some of that bonus I missed by not being drafted where I was selected. And also, too, in working with the team, and again, it's crazy that teams are going to him to recruit him.
I just think if a team drafted him, you have his rights for a year.
But they didn't.
So he could sit out.
But they didn't.
Nobody drafted him.
So that's why we're walking through this scenario. And I would just say, and a team had to have the open mind that if I live up and hit some of these kickers, that after 2 years, as you said, you can renegotiate, to then renegotiate my contract based on my performance in those 2 years, making, you know, peanuts compared to what I could have made as a first-round draft pick to give me that long-term deal now, as I said, based on my performance. And it's a way for Lael to make up some of that big money that he lost not being a first-day pick.
I agree. It is a way for him to make up that money. It is going to be just, in my opinion, very, very interesting to see exactly how this all plays out. Indianapolis should be foaming at the mouth trying to get this guy.
Yeah,
they should be doing everything they possibly can. They ignored offensive line in the draft. You know they need offensive linemen to help protect Andrew Luck. They should be foaming at the mouth for him. And we got a mention here saying that teams have $80,000 total in bonus for their undrafted free agents.
There you go.
Money is not going to – this isn't going to be about money.
No.
This is going to be about where he thinks he can have the biggest impact because he can't get big money now.
True. And also, too, Pat Coyne, friend of the show and my personal friend, happy birthday, Pat. He actually has a birthday on Cinco de Mayo, so – he gets his fair share of margaritas.
And we got
Ted from
West Virginia, I'm guessing, at Ted_Browns. It's his birthday as well. Shout out.
Shout out. Happy birthday, everybody. But he just said also, too, the attractive thing for him to make up some of those lost funds is going to a state like Florida with no state tax. You know, so 10% of that money is, you know, stays in his pocket as opposed to going to the state.
And for the people who say that he said if he was drafted after the third round that he would not sign – make him prove that.
Right.
Go ahead. Give him the opportunity to prove that he's going to sit out and make $0.
Exactly. And I think in some cases, when you talked about the coercion between teams to not draft him, that's very bold by a player who has yet to play in the league and an agent to facilitate a player to say something like that to the NFL, a multi-billion dollar business, you know, with sublings of billion dollar businesses, which are the teams. They don't take too kindly to someone telling you how things are going to be. Don't, you know, I don't want to be drafted if I'm not drafted in the second or third round. Well, you found out that you won't get drafted at all.
Right. And now teams have an opportunity to woo him. And it's just interesting. And some people on Twitter are up in arms, you know, why don't you wait till it's confirmed that he's cleared? If he goes and talks to the police and they confirm that he is not a suspect, I mean, at what point? I think it's fine for teams to go ahead and talk to him. It's going to be interesting to see where he ends up and how this process plays itself out, because it truly is unprecedented. It's unprecedented in the history of the league, I think.
It is. And Adam Schefter reported that during the draft. I think it was, you know, day two when he came out with the bold comments that if I don't get drafted, you know, in the second or third round, I don't want to be drafted at all. And Adam Schefter reported that it's never happened before.
So he is narrowing down the list of teams. He and his agent are contacting teams, letting them know if they are in or they are out as they continue to go forward. It really is going to be a very interesting thing to watch. If you're the Browns, do you go after him? I say absolutely you go after him.
Sure. I mean depth on an offensive line, a position that we drafted Cam Irving, we drafted him for a reason, but to grab another first round talent for peanuts and making him prove his value to you and the person that he is consistently, I would absolutely go after him.
Yeah, I don't know that he would come here, but I certainly would go after him. I think, to me, New England, Indy, Green Bay, Seattle. If I'm Lyle Collins, he should just be, you know, he should try to go to a team where he can come in, win a Super Bowl, play right away. And, you know, the other aspect is money, and you can look at what teams are expected to have in a couple of years, but certainly a very, very interesting scenario going to play itself out here over the next few days. We're going now to the Ohio Business Machine Hotline. Very happy to bring in the 19th overall pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, Browns rookie first rounder, Cameron Irving. Cam, how you doing today?
Doing good, man.
Thank you for joining us. So you got drafted. I got to talk to you there at the draft that night. You were fired up. Now that you've had a few days to kind of have it sink in, what's the experience been like for you? You've come to the building. You've met with everybody. How are you feeling about becoming a Cleveland Brown and getting down and getting ready to work?
I'm ready to get to Cleveland and get to training camp and just meeting all the guys. Ready to start learning this playbook. Just ready to get back on the field. I miss playing ball. It's been a while. So, all of this, it's been a whirlwind, and it's been a lot of emotions. It's hard to explain it, but it's still hard to believe. So, I'm just taking it in stride.
Cam, you said it is hard to believe, but I'm gonna dig for some more information. So your name is selected. You had the interview with us. We actually had a television show that documented your trip on the private aircraft from Chicago here to Cleveland. Pick us up from right there. What happened next? You come to the building. I know you enjoyed an Indians game. Just walk us through that next 12 to 24 hours.
When I got to Cleveland, me and my mom, and along with Danny and his family, we visited the facility. We met all the staff, the personnel. We met the equipment guys. You know, we picked our numbers. You know, we went to the press conference. We were introduced to Cleveland, you know, media officially. And, I mean, after that, we ate a little lunch. And then my mom went back to the hotel, and I went to the Indians game.
How was that tribe game?
It was amazing. That's actually one of my first baseball games I ever went to.
Okay.
I can't remember going to a professional baseball game before last week. So that was a great experience for me. And the fans welcomed me, and it was one of those things that, you know, I never thought that I'd be in this position and people would be cheering that much for me. But, it's all good, but now I'm just ready to get back to football, just ready to start playing.
Were you you'd heard about the dog pound and you heard about how rabid this fan base was, but getting it to go to that Indians game and seeing how excited people were about you joining the Browns, was that kind of like – a wake up to you saying, oh my goodness, this is a wild fan base?
It definitely was. Like, it was one of those things where I just like, man, I realized this is happening to me. I'm in a great position right now, and I just want to go out and I just want to show the fans that it was the right choice to draft me. So it's been great.
Cam, after you're selected number 19 overall, you documented the next 12 to 24 hours, which is spectacular. But the show went on there after you were selected. Just talk about, you know, the 11 other guys that are going to make up a very large draft class for the Cleveland Browns, and the watchful eye that you had Friday and Saturday to see who else was added to the Cleveland Browns roster that during this draft.
I was very interested to see who else was going to be on the team with me because, you know, we're all coming from college and it's going to be a big transition for us all. So, I saw guys like Nate Orchard get drafted. I played against Duke Johnson because he's in Miami and I was at Florida State. It's just going to be great to actually be teammates with these guys now. Just, you know, go out and just get ready to play football.
Have you and Danny Shelton kind of formed a bond being the two first-round picks? And have you guys already started talking smack about when you'll go head-to-head in practice?
You know, neither one of us are the type of talking smack guys. You know, we're ready to go out and compete, and, you know, it's going to be a great battle, of course, but it's been more of a, you know, just being around him and his family, I got a good feel for him. I feel like he's really good people, and I'm just ready to see what's next for us as well as the rest of the dog pound.
When you came in here and you come around the facility, you get to talk to everybody, and of course, I'm sure you spent some time with Andy Moeller, George DeLeon, the offensive line coaches of the Browns. Did they give any insight? We know you're versatile. We know you've played tackle. You've played center. A lot of people think you might play right guard here or compete for that right guard job with John Greco. Did they give you any insight in kind of how they see you fitting in here in your rookie campaign?
They just told me that they want me to be the plug and play guy on the line. You know, wherever I'm needed, that's where they need me to be. Of course, you know, I have versatility. I play left tackle. I play center. I've never played guard. But, you know, we'll see where they have me in the lineup when, you know, their time comes and when rookie mini camps and when training camps and OTAs get around.
Cam, I know the obviously learning the playbook and the speed of the game will be different from college. But from this point right now, you know, being drafted 19th overall, what's the one thing that you're going to focus on personally to essentially maybe have you as a week one starter here in Cleveland?
Just continuing to be a student of the game, you know, listening to the older guys, listening to the veterans, and just listening more than I talk. You know, I just want to go out and just be able to take all of the offense in and listen to those guys and what they have to say, their insight on everything, and just going into it and continue to be a student of the game. That's my biggest thing.
I'm an 8-year NFL veteran. You know, we call it being seen, not heard. So
exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
Have you talked with Joe Thomas or Alex Mack, or has Joel Bitonio reached out to you, anybody from the offensive line on the Browns that you've been in contact with yet?
We haven't really been in contact, but, I'll be back in Cleveland this weekend. I'm sure we'll get up.
What are you looking forward to at this rookie mini camp?
Competition. Just going out and competing against guys. We got a lot of good players coming in, so it's going to be a lot of good linemen, I should say. I mean, I'm not saying the other guys are good, but, just a lot of good linemen, defensive and offensive, and it's just going to be interesting to see how everything pans out.
It certainly will be, Cam. One last opportunity to talk to the Dog Pound, because we've gotten to know you. Very humble, hardworking guy. You're eager to come in, get to work, and help this franchise, which I think is music to a lot of people's ears, given, you know, how various first-round picks sometimes act. And to hear that, I think the Browns have a great one in you. But if there's anything you wanted to say to all the Dog Pound members that are listening right now, what would it be?
I'm not going to make any promises, but I can definitely say that we're going to go out and we're going to work hard and try to do, first goal is to win the division, first goal, and then second goal is to make it to the playoffs, and then, make it as far as we can possibly. All I can say is that we're going to go out and we're going to do what we got to do to get the team to a point that we need to be.
Cam, thank you so much. Best of luck to you. We'll see you here in the facility later on this week when you come in for the rookie minicamp. And again, congratulations on being the 19th overall pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, and we're certainly happy to have you coming and joining the Cleveland Browns.
Happy to be here, man. Thank you.
All right, you got it. Cam Irving, the Browns offensive lineman that was the 19th pick in this year's draft. He'll be here with all the other rookies and the invitees, undrafted guys who are camp invitees. Last year, hey, that produced guys like Isaiah Crowell, Kaywan Williams, Robert Nelson, Taylor Gabriel. So they have an opportunity to find more talent at this rookie minicamp that starts this Friday here in Berea at the Browns facility and goes over the weekend. Cameron Irving, again, you can follow him on Twitter as well if you guys want to follow him. At Big Irv, BIGERV _75, a nice member of the Cleveland Browns and guy who's ready to come in here, work, compete, and I think is going to bring a lot on and off the field to this organization.
He definitely will. He's a great young man, and you can tell he's extremely confident, but he doesn't have to tell you for you to know that.
That's right. You can very well said. You give him some good advice there as an 8-year veteran in the NFL.
That's right.
I like it. All right, when we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Tweet the show at Nathan Zagura, at Browns _daily. Lots to come here, including some sound about the draft. After further review, Andrew Gribble, your phone calls, 216-578-0850.